It's Friday, July 24th, 2026, and this is Pip Install, your daily download on power, security and the machines. Tonight the war stopped being something that happens far away and became a number in your wallet. Oil broke $100 a barrel. And the thing that pushed it over wasn't a strike on Iran, it was Houthi fighters hitting two Saudi tankers in the Red Sea, which means the world now has two choke points on fire instead of one. Meanwhile, the president says he's weighing a massive attack on Iran, his words bigger than ever before. Then, new tariffs land on dozens of countries in the same week, big tech promises not to put the AI boom on your electricity bill, and a giant planet turns out to have been hiding in plain sight. Let's install today's update. Start with the number, because it's the one that reaches everybody. Freya.
Oil went through $100 a barrel today, the first time this war has pushed it over that line, and the line everyone's been watching for months. And here's what actually did it, because it matters. Not another American strike on Iran. It was the Houthis, the Yemeni group, attacking two Saudi oil tankers in the Red Sea. Read the map, because it just changed shape. For weeks, this was a war about one choke point, the Strait of Hormuz, where a fifth of the world's oil squeezes through. Now the Red Sea, the other great artery, the one that feeds the Suez Canal, is under attack too. Ships are rerouting away from both. Flights in and out of the region are being halted. That's not a regional war anymore. That's a hand around the throat of global trade. And the $100 barrel is simply the sound it makes.
And the president's response was not to look for an exit. Bash.
No, it was to promise more. 12 straight days of American strikes now, and today the president said he is considering and is close to deciding on what he called a massive attack on Iran. His phrase, bigger than ever before. He also widened the target list out loud. He'd already said America would destroy an Iranian bridge or power plant for every ship Iran touches. Today he extended that to Tehran itself, the capital, a city of nearly 10 million people. So far, the bridges we've bombed have been in the south. Bombing power stations in Tehran is a different act, and everyone saying it out loud knows that. And on talks, the one thing that ends this, he said Iran isn't ready, and that, quote, they need more of the same. I'll hold both halves, as always. The regime in Tehran is still firing on countries that never joined this fight. Jordan, Bahrain, Kuwait, right down to a border crossing at Al Abdali. That is Tehran's choice and Tehran's crime. And more of the same is not a strategy. It's a description of a wheel. When both sides answer every strike with a bigger one, and neither will sit down, the only variable left is how many people are underneath it when it finally stops.
Stack, what a $100 barrel actually does.
It converts a foreign war into a domestic one is what it does, and quickly. Oil at 100 doesn't stay in the oil market. It moves into diesel, which moves into freight, which moves into the price of everything that arrives on a lorry, food most of all. Airlines hedge for a while, and then they don't. Utilities pass it on. The rule of thumb is brutal in its simplicity. Every $10 on a barrel is a tax nobody voted for, collected from the people with the least room to absorb it. And note where the pressure is coming from now, because it's a strategic shift. Iran's leverage was Hormuz. The Houthis just added the Red Sea. That is two hands on the world's supply, held by actors who don't need to win a war. They only need to make shipping insurable. And right now, they're winning that argument with every underwriter on Earth.
Freya, one more turn of the screw, and it's the one that rearranges the whole region.
It is, and it's about who got hit. Those were Saudi tankers today. Not American, not Israeli, Saudi. For years, the Gulf monarchies have played this carefully. Host American bases, buy quiet from Tehran, stay technically out of the fight. That posture just died in the Red Sea. When missiles start burning Saudi hulls, Riyadh isn't a hedging bystander anymore. It's a target. And targets stop hedging. Watch for the Gulf states to move, Because a war that was America and Israel versus Iran is quietly becoming something much wider. And hanging over all of it, that decision the president says he's close to making. The massive attack, bigger than ever before. Nobody will say what's in it, but there's one target that's been sitting on the table for a week now. Pickaxe Mountain, the underground nuclear site. If bigger than ever turns out to mean that, this stops being a war about shipping lanes and becomes a war about the bomb. And every calculation in every capital resets overnight.
So, two choke points, a $100 barrel, a threatened attack bigger than ever, Saudi Arabia dragged in, and a president who says the answer to a stalemate is more of it. Watch the insurance rates before you watch the headlines. That's where this war is actually being decided. And in the same week that oil crossed 100, a second squeeze, this one entirely chosen. Stack.
The US Trade Representative announced a fresh round of tariffs today on dozens of economies, replacing the temporary 10% rate that expires at midnight. Take the two things together because households don't experience them separately. On one side, a war has just made the energy that moves every physical good more expensive. On the other, Washington has made the goods themselves more expensive to import. Fuel and freight and tariff stacked, landing in the same weeks. A government can't control the Houthis. It absolutely controls the tariff schedule. So when the bill arrives this autumn, and it will, in the grocery aisle long before it shows up in any statistic, remember that one half of it was done to us, and the other half was a choice made on purpose, and only one of those was ever put to a vote. And watch the timing, because it's the tell. A temporary rate expiring at midnight is a deadline the administration set for itself. It could have extended it, in a week when energy costs are already spiking into every household. It chose not to. That's not a market shock. That's a decision taken with full knowledge of what oil was doing that same afternoon. Whoever's arguing this autumn about why groceries cost what they cost, that sequence is the answer.
War you can't control, tariffs you can. They land on the same kitchen table. Our beat, and today it showed up on your electricity bill. Freya.
So this is the fight nobody expected to become political. And it has. AI data centres, the giant warehouses of chips that make everything from chatbots to weapons targeting work, consume staggering amounts of power. And in state after state, ordinary people have been opening their electricity bills and finding them higher, and asking a very reasonable question. Am I paying for their machines? Today, the president stood at the EPA headquarters in Washington and expanded his answer to it, pulling states and utilities into something called the Ratepayer Protection Pledge. The deal: tech companies promise to fund or build the power infrastructure their data centers need, rather than passing the cost through to consumers. As of today, it's signed by 23 governors and more than 180 companies, the big utilities among them, and the big data center developers. And listen to the scale he described in that room, because that's the part that should stop you. He told the executives they'd be building their own electric plants, that they are, his phrase, essentially becoming a utility, like Con Edison, but at a level that nobody's ever seen before. He said the country needs double the electricity it currently generates, maybe more, to build what they intend to build, and that the existing grid, in his words, would not have worked. Sit with that for 1 second. The men in that room are being told to go and build a second American power system, privately, because the public one can't carry what they're making. He urged the executives in the room to go out and sell data centers to the public, telling them the towns that host them will end up rich.
And here's the promise itself in his own voice.
Electricity bills for American families will actually come down.
And here's the word doing all the work behind that promise: voluntary. A pledge is not a tariff, not a rule, not a rate case. There's no regulator enforcing it, no penalty for a company that signs today and renegotiates in 3 years when the load is built and the town is dependent. The structural fact underneath hasn't moved. The AI build-out needs enormous new generation. Someone has to pay for it. And utilities recover costs from ratepayers. That's how the machinery works, pledge or no pledge. That said, credit where it's due, getting 180 companies to publicly accept the principle that they should pay for their own power is not nothing. It sets a standard you can hold them to later. It just isn't, today, a mechanism.
So what? This is the AI story finally arriving where everyone actually lives. Not job displacement, not chatbots, the power bill. And note what it took. Not an ethics debate, not a safety summit, a midterm election and a stack of angry constituents opening their utility statements. That's worth learning from. The thing that finally made Washington move on AI wasn't what the machines might do to us. It was what they were charging us. Watch whether one single pledge signer ever gets held to it. And finally, proof that even the things we've stared at longest can still be hiding something. Heap.
This one's lovely. There's a star called Beta Pictoris. And if you're not an astronomer, just know it's one of the most studied young star systems in the entire sky. Decades of telescopes, textbook stuff. We thought we knew the place. Well, the James Webb Telescope just looked again and found a giant planet in there that nobody had ever seen. It had been hiding behind a bright disk of cosmic dust the whole time, and Webb only caught it by picking up traces of its atmosphere. They're calling it Beta Pictoris D. A whole planet, in one of the handful of systems we've examined most closely in the history of the science. Sat there the entire time, behind the dust, while we wrote the textbooks. I find that weirdly comforting, actually. Not that we were wrong, that the universe still has something left. We've barely started, and the thing keeps handing us planets we walked straight past.
Two choke points burning, $100 barrel, a tariff bill on the same kitchen table, a promise about your power bill that nobody has to keep, and a planet that was hiding in plain sight the whole time. That's your install for Friday, July 24th. Watch the insurance rates, watch whether that massive attack arrives this weekend, and watch whether a single company is ever held to that pledge. The analysis is Anna Dudley's. I just handed you the update. I'm Pip. Package install success. We'll see you on the next install.